Evolution claims to be proven science. Is that really true? If so, does that mean the Bible is wrong about the origin of the universe and mankind? Should Christians just throw in the towel and admit that Genesis 1 doesn't mean what it says? Stay tuned for an interview with one of Christendom's most effective speakers in behalf of creationism.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and welcome to Christ in Prophecy. Once again this week, my co-host Nathan Jones and I have Russ Miller as our special guest. Russ is the founder of a creation science ministry located in Arizona. Russ and I have ministered together a number of times at Stealing the Mind conferences, and after hearing him speak several times, I came to the conclusion that he is one of the most effective speakers in behalf of creation on the scene today. Russ, welcome to Christ in Prophecy.
Thank you, sir. Yes, great sir. To be here. Nathan, good to
And Nathan, to be here. Before I ask him his first question, let me just ask you one.
Okay.
How about viewers who missed last week's program? How could they find that program?
Well, I'm so sorry if you missed it, folks, but you can catch up on it on our website at christinprophecy.org, our YouTube channel, his channel. We have quite a number of online networks. You can watch Christ in Prophecy 24/7.
And you can just watch it on demand?
On demand, okay. christinprophecy.org. Nice.
All right. Well, Russ, last week you provided us with your background, and so we're not going to go into that this week. But I do want to jump into some questions real fast. And the first one is this. Is it true that the fossil record proves the theory of evolution? I've heard this over and over and over. Mm-hmm.
It's part of their propaganda. They throw it out all the time. But the truth of the matter is, from a real scientific standpoint, the fossil record is a total embarrassment to the religious philosophy of Darwinian evolutionism. They say, and Darwin thought the fossil record would eventually prove his theory.
Yes, he said that point blank.
And he, just before his death, he realized that it didn't at that time, but he thought eventually they'd find the proof. Here we are 155 years later, they're still looking for that missing link, and they don't need a missing link, they need millions and millions of missing links. So, no, the fossil record is an embarrassment to Darwinism, and it does not show an evolutionary path leading to modern humans.
As a matter of fact, they've tried real hard over the years to create the missing link.
Yeah. Yes. Like Lucy?
And I mean, really, one after another
right.
of just frauds.
Out and out frauds. And in fact, all of their, let's just say with their ape men. If you ask a Darwinist, why are there apes and why are there humans if we evolved?
Yeah, where's the middle creatures?
Yeah, where's the middle creature? They're going to say, well, we didn't evolve directly from an ape. There was a common ancestor. Apes went this way and humans went that way. And then they spent all their time trying to find skeletons that prove we did come from apes. It really is, they're talking out of both sides of their mouths. But all of their supposed ape men, let's just look at ape men, because we can start from the fossil, you know, single cell creatures and go forward. They don't have missing links. But they've all been proven to be either frauds, 100% apes, or 100% humans.
Well, over the years, I've just concluded that evolutionists try to prove everything they believe through imaginative drawings.
Yes.
Yes.
Imaginative. I mean, they can take one tooth they found and draw an entire human being who looks like, an ape or whatever,
Dave,
from a tooth.
There's an old saying that goes like this, and if you look in a biology book, you'll see this to be true. Their proofs are almost always drawings. And the old saying is this, Darwinists are experts at drawing things that never existed to support their theory that never took place. I always tell people, if you take away their box of crayons, they're left with nothing.
Well, Russ, what do you do when you see if every layer as you go down, the creatures are supposed to go down and down the evolutionary tree, but why do we find more modern creatures below more ancient creatures?
They do find them mixed up. Now, overall, there is somewhat of a standard order, but it's mixed up.
Okay.
And it's the type of order you'd expect with the lower single-cell creatures going into the marine creatures, going into, let's say, the amphibians and into the mammals. But that's just because that's how the flood laid things down. And animals could move higher and higher if they were mobile to do so.
Yeah.
But overall, they've got layers that are in the wrong position. They're missing, even at Grand Canyon, where I lead tours to, and just the 10 primary layers at the canyon, between that top layer and the bottom, they're missing 1.5 billion years. Not million, billion years of their supposed layers that are not there. One of the large ones there where the creation rock lays, where the first of the flood layers lay right on top of the creation rock, we discussed this in the last program, they're missing 1.2 billion years of layers that are supposed to be in there. They say there must have been some kind of a big erosional event, but not a global flood.
No.
Well, you were going to ask something about DNA. What was it?
Yeah, well, we got to talk a little about this last week. I'm fascinated by it because when I started my career, I was a web developer, and when we programmed, if you even got the slightest punctuation mark or comma or whatnot wrong, the whole program would stop. And now we're finding out that DNA is the ultimate in programming for the human body and for every cell.
Even Bill Gates was amazed by it.
Way beyond anything humans have ever come up with.
And wouldn't you think then that DNA would prove that there is an intelligent creator?
How do they deal with it?
Well, they basically try to ignore the obvious fact, and they try to claim that mutations over, of course, the magic ingredient, millions of years of time, mutations got all this information together. Now I'm a father and a grandfather, and I don't know of any father or grandfather that's ever been praying that their newborn child or grandchild would have mutations. Mutations do not make things better. Mutations are, it's called neo-Darwinism, it's what's taught today. But neo-Darwinism teaches that mutations add new and beneficial genetic information. Mutations corrupt and lose functional genetic information. Now, just for the folks listening, if you say they can't come up with new information, you would lose the debate. If you say they can't come up with new and beneficial genetic information, you'll win the debate. Just as a very simple example. Let's just say the genetic information to form a cat's leg were actually spelled L-E-G for leg. Okay, a mutation might sort that, and it might come out instead of L-E-G, might change it to L-G-E. Now, that's a total loss of functional information. It could cause the death of the cat. But technically, it's new information. So you can't say they don't come up with new information, but they don't come up with new and beneficial genetic information. Yeah, the DNA should have brought any talk of Darwinism to a screeching halt. What we find changes, and this is called microevolution. Darwinian would be macro change. Micro is biblically correct. It's just adaptations.
Let's differentiation. A bird's beak will have different shapes within the same kind.
Which is what Darwin noticed.
Okay.
And which was 100% biblically accurate. But he jumped to the erroneous conclusion that somehow that proved that birds would become non-birds. What he didn't know at that time, we didn't know about genetics, is the changes in those bird beaks were caused by the sorting or the loss of the information, the genetic information they already had. It's called gene depletion. Gene pools get weaker and weaker through mutations. In fact, it's what breeders use. Breeders use gene depletion all the time. If they're going to breed for a purebred dog, for instance, of one sort, they breed dogs with traits, and the puppies they keep breeding together with the traits they like. They're not breeding in information, they're breeding out information. They're losing genetic depletion. And until you get a purebred, like a yellow lab, which only has genetic information.
It seems to me like that the god of evolutionists is time. They just believe if you got enough time, give those monkeys 1,000 typewriters, and if you give them 2 billion years, they will type out Shakespeare's plays.
Well, that's what they try to believe. That's what they do believe, as a matter of fact. And unfortunately, they teach it to unsuspecting children. But that is their magic ingredient, Dave. Every time they get nailed into a corner on the actual science, which is on our side, it's just... But millions of years of time, it's their abracadabra, it's their magic.
Well, you know, they teach that schools cannot teach creationism because it is religion, evolution is science. What about that?
Well,
evolution, science?
When I'd speak at college campuses, the professors used to really help me out by giving the kids extra credit to come there and harass me and attack me. And it would fill up the auditorium, and I'd do our science and Darwinism and just slaughter Darwinism. And so the professors, they don't give extra credit anymore.
No more.
but it was very odd, Dave. I'd walk up to the podium. The auditorium would just be full of hundreds of students, and they'd just be cross-armed glaring at me with hatred.
You picked up on the body language immediately.
And it was just, I'd always think, this is really strange because all I'm going to do is give them an option to look at. Why would that make them so mad? Well, it's because they're what they're being taught. But God showed this to me one night. I walked up to the podium, and everyone was just glaring at me with just daggers in their eyes. And And I just ask them, hey, before I start, I want to ask you all some questions. First of all, how many of you have been taught that creation is a religious belief? Oh, man, they raise their hands, and they aren't going to let me push religion on their campus, boy. And then I said, well, okay, it is. It's a belief about how we came about. Hey, let me ask you another question. How many of you have been taught that Darwinian evolution is science? Oh, man, they raise their hand. They're not going to let me attack science, boy. And then I would just kind of get a confused look on my face, and I would say, well, now I'm kind of confused. When I asked you about creation, you said it was a belief, and when I asked you about evolution, you said it was science, but aren't creation and evolution exactly the same thing? Aren't they both beliefs on how we came about?
Yes.
They are both beliefs. And all of a sudden, those crossed arms and glares would melt, and it'd be like, hey, they are both beliefs on how we came about. How come we're being taught this one is science? Because secular atheists own the system, and they are teaching you their religious belief in the place of science and misleading all of you. And that would just open up their eyes, and then I could just slaughter Darwinism for them.
You speak of these college campuses. Do you ever get involved in debates with professors?
You know, I don't speak often on college campuses anymore. It's kind of a long story, but it's difficult to do that today.
Safe spaces.
Yeah, safe spaces and all. And also, I won't get into the reasons without clearing it with you first, but I don't do that anymore. But they generally will not debate. They used to debate back in the 90s into the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. The Kent Hovind debates.
They lost all the debates, and they finally figured out, why should we go out and debate?
And I think they lost the debates because they considered you to be Neanderthals and didn't know anything about science, and they just went in unprepared and got slaughtered.
Absolutely.
I saw this time after time.
Absolutely. And they finally figured out, we own the whole system. We can shut the door and teach the kids whatever we want to teach. Why in the world are we letting these creations come in here and slaughter us? Yes. So they finally figured out, we don't debate anymore. So they don't debate anymore, and they don't give extra credit for the kids to come and see my science versus Darwinism anymore.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our interview with Russ Miller, the founder and director of Creation, Evolution, and Science Ministries located in Arizona. Russ, I love the name, by the way. That's great. I got a question for you. We get this all the time, especially by Christians who have adopted evolution, and they say, well, the Earth, how could it be 6,000 or 10,000 years old when it looks so old? Mm-hmm. Why does the Earth look old, and yet we as creationists teach that it's only 6,000 years old?
Well, I guess my question would be, why do you think it looks old? You know, I mean, take this cup. That cup could have been made this morning, or it could have been made 150 years ago.
Well, I think they're talking about erosion, right? It seems like there's a lot of erosion on the Earth.
I hear, well, there was. There was a global flood.
Ah, that's the answer to the aging.
And we've had over 4,000 to 5,000 years of today's rates of erosion since then. So, there's definitely a lot of erosion. A global flood does a lot of eroding. So, but I get that a lot. Things look old. You know, I can't believe in the biblical creation because, they're actually accusing God of lying.
This I find this all the time. Mm-hmm. God has deluded us. He says he created in 6 days, but it's obvious it's so much longer than that. So why is he telling us a lie?
Yeah, when actually he told us the truth, they just don't accept it.
Yeah.
And so because they can't accept God's word, they're trying to say
another point
God
I make in response to that is that special creation always carries with it the appearance of age, because when Adam was created, if 2 minutes later you had asked me, how old is Adam? I'd say, well, he's 25 years old, I guess. Right. He's a grown man.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm. He creates a tree, bang. That tree's got to be 25, 30 years old because, it's...
And you have the fallacy of the dating systems, right? A lot of the dating, like the carbon dating and all, they're resting on some unsettling assumptions, right?
There's a lot of assumptions involved. Mm-hmm. I had a pastor a few years ago tell me he couldn't believe in biblical creation and the ages because the mountains look old. Well, the mountains from the biblical worldview arose toward the end of the flood. And people ask me all the time, how could the water cover the mountains? Well, the mountains weren't there during the flood. They arose toward the end of the flood. And you look at Mount St. Helens, which we discussed earlier, and if you didn't know when it erupted and you looked at it 20 years later, or even 5 years later, you would have thought it was millions of years ago.
Interesting.
So the radiometric dating techniques are based on multiple assumptions. They have to assume that item A, the parent material, decays into item B, the daughter material. Let's say potassium, argon. Potassium 40 decays into argon 40. Basically, just to make it simplified, they're measuring the amount of argon, and they're saying it took this long to decay from potassium to argon. Now, they're assuming there was never any argon in the rock when the rock formed. If there was argon in the rock when it formed, it's going to date millions or billions of years older than they're giving the age. If it was ever contaminated with argon, which is a gas that can go from one rock to the next very easily, pressure, heat, an earthquake, a global flood would have all caused contamination.
And I've read, too, that they'll take multiple datings and then pick the oldest one that fits their preconception.
Well, they do, and it has to be a date, though, Nathan, that matches the man-made geologic column. That's where the old Earth beliefs come up. Radiometric dating techniques have to match that man-made column. It was invented about 210 years ago. That's really where the dates come from, not from radioisotope dating. They'll date something over and over and get a date that matches a column, and that's what they consider and publish as a good date.
I think another thing we need to mention there is the fact that when a man sinned, God put a curse upon this earth, and that curse has also had an impact on the earth. Mm-hmm. All of the earth is affected by man's sin, and that also gives more appearance of age because of the impact of sin.
The world we live in today, and we need to understand, this is the post-curse, post-flood, literal junkyard of the creation. And going back to that geologic column, based on the belief there was never a global flood, if there was a flood, it shows how those layers form quickly. And that's where the radioisotope dating methods come from, is from that column. If there was a global flood, it wipes out every old Earth belief. And the age of the Earth in and of itself isn't the key issue right here. Christians need to understand the old Earth beliefs put death before Adam.
Yes.
The gospel message is Adam's sin corrupted a perfect creation, allowing death to enter, separating us from God, requiring our redemption through Jesus Christ. Old Earth beliefs put death before Adam. If the first Adam, sin, didn't bring in death, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, putting death before Adam corrupts that entire foundation. If there was, and now they're teaching there's not a literal Adam.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
And that's because of old Earth beliefs that put death before
Adam. That was even featured on the cover of Christianity Today. A guy looked like halfway between human and ape, saying, and the title of the article was Adam really a human being or is just a mythological creature?
Wow. Mm. I didn't read the article, but
on the cover of Christianity Today.
Well, you know, Christianity Today came out about, I think it was about 10 years ago, and were urging Christians to support intelligent design and evolution and attack biblical creationists.
Let me ask you about another question, and that is that we get this all the time, and I don't know if you can answer this without getting highly scientific. We don't want that to happen, but here's the question. Evolutionists say that they can prove beyond a doubt that evolution is true because of starlight. It took hundreds of millions of years for the starlight to reach to the earth.
That's a great question, because the Bible actually foretold that would be one of the two key questions in the last days. And the Bible's fantastic.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
And it really is.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, so in 2 Peter 3, 3 through 6 in the New Testament, we're told that in the last days, scoffers will come along saying, basically, I'm going to paraphrase here, where is the return of Jesus?
That's right.
For as the founding fathers passed away, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Now, that's called uniformitarianism today, or just uniformity.
Everything's always been the same.
Everything's been the same. Erosion rates have always been the same. The speed of light has always been the same. And because things have always been the same, they measure those rates today, and based on uniformity, these scoffers are going to be willingly ignorant of two things, that the heavens were made of old, God made the heavens mature, they're going to be willingly ignorant of that, and that by the word of God, the world that was being overflowed with water perished. They're going to deny the flood, and they're going to deny that God could get light here when he says he did, all based on uniformity. So we see light traveling at was it 282,000 miles per second through our system now? And based on it always being the same, stars are a long ways out there. They say it took millions of years. But 10 times in the Bible, we're told God made the heavens mature. He stretched them out.
I keep running across that, how he stretched it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he stretched them out. He made them mature. In fact, when Genesis is talking about the fourth day and God made the sun and the moon and the stars as well, he made the stars to be seen for signs of seasons, days, and years. Notice that the writer of Genesis knows the difference between a day and a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Bible said this is what they would do. It's what they're doing, and all it does is show God's word is true, word for word,
wow,
cover to cover.
Well, Nathan, bring up about Richard Dawkins. That's fascinating to me.
While we were talking about this, I love this movie called Expelled. I'm sure you've seen it with Ben Stein, the comedian.
Yes.
And no, he's not a Christian. He's Jewish. He wanted to prove intelligent design. Mm-hmm. And he was interviewing various professors. And he's interviewing Dawkins and Hitchens and others. And he asked, where did life come from? And his answer was that life traveled to the earth on the back of crystals. And then Stein stops the movie and he says, I thought this was science, not science fiction. Mm-hmm. Has evolutionists got to the point now that they're relying on science fiction?
Yeah.
I hear now even the multiverse theory is starting to be used to describe how things are as they are. Have we got to that point yet?
Isn't that rather startling that the world's leading evolutionists would say, well, we're now got a new idea?
Yeah, basically what he said, and you'll hear there's some old Darwin, they have no clue how life could have started. The law of biogenesis is that life only comes from living matter. In other words, non-life cannot produce life. So they're teaching the Big Bang. We're on our fourth Big Bang. They've all been debunked, by the way. People say God could have used the Big Bang. Well, not the secular atheist Big Bang. That's trying to explain the universe without God. But they're on our fourth Big Bang. They say next to nothing blew up, and after, of course, billions of years of magic ingredient, a big rock formed, and it rained on the rock for millions of years, and poof, here we are today. Well, there's some problems there. You're sitting there with this wet, sterile rock with no life. They have no way to get life. You can't get life to start from non-life.
Lightning hit minerals and turn into proteins, which then combine.
Yeah,
we see
lightning create life all the time, don't we?
Yeah, it's never been.
That's talking about Desperado, right?
So it comes on crystals floating in space.
So that's where they go to crystals. That's the reason they go to aliens. Ah. They go to maybe a meteor brought us here. And, you know, there's so many problems with that. The closest galaxy, a major galaxy, is about 2.5 million light years away. So people say, well, those spaceships can go really fast. Well, let's say they could go 50% the speed of light. It would still take them 5 million years to get here.
Wow.
And space is filled with dust and ice particles. And if that spaceship going half the speed of light hit a dust particle, it would blow up. So they've got so many problems. But the truth of the matter is that in the beginning, God created. The DNA, RNA system should have brought any doubt about there being an intelligent God to a screeching halt. And the global flood actually wipes out pretty much every belief out there except for Christianity and Judaism. And if we'd just accept the flood and stop compromising with millions of years of beliefs, that flood actually brings the world down to one question. Is Jesus the promised Messiah, Christianity or Judaism?
Well, we have actual Christian spokesmen today who are saying that the worldwide flood was just a regional flood, a local flood in the Middle East.
Oh, yes.
What's your response to that?
Satan is good at what he does. Satan is good. What that does is it puts death before Adam. A lot of these people are honestly misled, but we were warned there would be grievous wolves among the sheep. We were warned of tares among the wheat, goat among the sheep. And not everyone that believes in millions of years. I used to believe in millions of years. I was honestly misled, but I wasn't selling it to other people. But we don't know who the tares are. But I'm telling folks, if they're teaching a different Jesus, we need to correct them on that, because we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, and Satan is trying to get us off track. And millions of years is one of his biggest attacks on people's faith in the authority of God's Word.
You know, some things you said there reminded me of a creation speaker and teacher by the name of Job Martin. I don't know if you know Job or not, but he wrote this best-selling book that has such
The Evolutionist of a Creationist.
The Evolution of a Creationist. And that's such a clever title. He said that he was a professor of dental science at Baylor University, mm-hmm. and he was teaching that teeth originated from fish scales. Mm-hmm. And he said, two girls in the class came up to him and said, "Are you an open-minded person?" He said, "Yeah." And they said, "We would like to meet with you privately and talk about whether fish scales produce teeth." And they presented him with creationism and challenged him on everything he believed, mm-hmm. and he became a creationist.
Isn't that amazing? And it does show that, you know, a lot of times we think we can't make any impact, we can't do anything, but these two girls impacted Job Martin, who wrote a best-selling book, and has impacted millions of people.
That's right.
So we need to get out there and get in the battle.
Get out there and get in the battle.
Exactly.
Well, brother, you're in the battle, and I appreciate it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and your ministry, and I just hope and pray that our people who are watching will go to your website and that they will really investigate it. Now, all the materials, you have videos, you have all kinds of things there, and also your trip through the Grand Canyon, and that's not just for young people, is it?
No, it's a great trip. We have people from the age of 10 to 90 going on our trips,
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our interview with creation evolution expert, Russ Miller. Hey, Russ, tell folks how they can get in touch with your ministry.
Nathan, the best way to find me is through our website at creationministries.org.
Well, Russ, what all is on that website?
Dave, we've got information on our Grand Canyon Rim and Raft and Grand Staircase tours on my speaking.
You've got videos on there, don't you?
Lots of videos on the canyon, on all my teachings are on there, our Science and Darwinism, Age of the Earth issues, etc. They can see our videos on there. My book, The Cost, is on there, covers the top 10 old earth beliefs, top 10 Darwinian beliefs, top 10 reasons to believe in biblical creation.
Do you have a speaking schedule on there by any chance?
Our speaking schedule is on there as well under calendar, and people can get a hold of us if they'd like us to share at their church.
Well, folks, that's our program for this week. I hope it's been a blessing to you. It sure has been a blessing to me and Nathan. And I hope you'll be back with us next week, the Lord willing. Until then, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries, saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.
If you would like to get a DVD of Dr. Reagan's entire presentation titled The Beginning and the Ending, you can do so for a gift of $20 or more, and that includes the cost of shipping. To order, just call the number you see on the screen, Monday through Friday, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, or you can place your order through our website at lamblion.com. The presentation runs 1 hour in length and is fully illustrated with PowerPoint slides from beginning to end. This is a very important presentation that you need to share with Sunday school classes and home Bible study groups. The message will challenge all viewers to take God's word for its plain sense meaning from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And as such, it will build confidence that the Bible truly is the Word of God and is totally reliable in all that it says. And we will include with the video a complimentary copy of our magazine, The Lamplighter, featuring a hard-hitting and insightful article by Russ Miller titled, The Top 10 Liberal Church Lies About Creation. Ask for offer number 878. Again, you can place your order through our website at lamblion.com, or you can call our office at the number you see on the screen. If you call, please do so Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time and ask for offer number 878.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministries, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.